The 3-1 pitch. Swung at and blasted. Deep right center. Away, back and gone. Bradley Zimmer with a grand slam to right center. And the Indians lead it 6-0 on Bradley Zimmer's first career grand slam. How did he put a charge into it?
The C4 Pod, August 2017, Cleveland Indians Casual Fan Catch-Up.
Who keeps you cheering year after year? Who's got the ballpark? The best is all right here. Who's got the fans with so much Cleveland pride? Who's talking baseball? Talking tribe. We're talking baseball.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Clem coming to you live from Andersonville. And today we have a very special episode of Chris Clem's Cavs Cast. No, it's not even going to talk about the Cavs. And sorry, Kyrie, that's going to have to wait. Today is the first annual Cleveland Indians midseason preview for casual fans, or the C4 Pod, August 2017 Cleveland Indians Casual Fan Catch-Up. Both of those names just roll off the tongue. But as you may have noticed, it's now August, and with Browns training camp heating up, the NBA offseason in a lull until the Cavs decide what to do with Kyrie, a lot of people's attention will be turning to baseball. As you may remember, last year the Cleveland Indians made the World Series, where they took the Chicago Cubs to 7 games and would have won if it wasn't for rain. A terrible act of God that insurance wouldn't cover. And let's face it, they persevered despite all the injuries and despite all the stress and things that happened. And they lost to a team with a giant payroll and a major market, and it still upsets me to this day. But that's okay, because it's 2017, and now you probably haven't watched many Indians games. If you're a casual fan, you probably might have seen one or two, maybe heard they had 5 All-Stars. So this here, this podcast, is basically designed to catch up everybody who realizes that it's August, the postseason is right around the corner, the Indians are in first place, and you want to know where to get started. Hopefully this will be a primer so that when October comes around, you'll actually sound like you kind of know what you're talking about and you've been following this team all season long. And I'm going to note, I'm just going to give you a general impression or a sense. I'm not really going to get into numbers. There's a ton of great sources if you want to hear numbers and really great in-depth analysis of the Indians. I personally recommend checking out the Everybody Hates Cleveland podcast on Waiting for Next Year's podcast feed. Those guys are super knowledgeable about the Indians, and I really enjoyed their previews before the season started, and they really know what they're talking about with numbers, and a lot of the things that they're saying, I find myself often intrigued in thinking that to myself when I'm watching the games. I'm not going to get into numbers. I'm not going to get into any of that. I'm just going to try to give you a character profile, some things that they've done, some ways that you could talk to people, some shit you can talk, some weird things you need to know. Just basically the kind of stuff you find out, like, you know, fun facts like Richard Jefferson is Luke Walton's best friend, and he attributes his increase in jumping ability and strength at a late stage of his career to volleyball and not human growth hormone. Or that Kyrie Irving loves the TV show Friends and not that he's a flat-earthing, backstabbing piece of shit. You know, fun facts like that that you'll be able to talk to anybody about. So to get started, we're going to go right through the 5 All-Stars. I'm going to give you the names of some players I think are important, some things you should know, some things you shouldn't know, some writers to follow on Twitter, some other things like that. And then at the end, I on Facebook submitted to my Facebook friends, what if you're a hardcore Indians fan, what do you think casual fans should know? And then we're going to tie it all up in a bow, and you're going to know is all that you need to know about the Cleveland Indians to enjoy the next 3 months of baseball and act like you've been there since day one. So let's get it started. The August 2017 Casual Fan Cleveland Indians Preview.
Michael Brantley.
Okay, Michael Brantley is a guy who last year everybody was expecting a lot out of, and he got hurt. And you might have heard during the playoffs somebody say, man, if we had Michael Brantley, we would beat the Cubs. It wouldn't even be a problem. Well, a lot of people thought he wouldn't be able to come back to form. And with the way the Indians handled his injury last year, it sure seemed like that would be the case. But he's back. He's playing left field on an everyday basis. He made the All-Star team again. He was third in the MVP voting a couple years ago. So he's a really good player. He's playing back the way he was before, and he's back on the team. So let's say where this knowledge would come, somebody come into handy, you're at the bar, and somebody's like, yeah, Brantley's up to back. And you're like, wow, this guy should be MLB's comeback player of the year because he's really come back from a lot with his injuries and all the setbacks to make the All-Star team again for the second time. Man, he's awesome. And also some people call him Dr. Smooth, but I always thought that nickname was forced and I never really liked it, but feel free to call him that. Michael Brantley, solid defender, solid hitter, great guy. Actually, I don't know him personally, but one time the Indians were playing in Chicago and the team bus came by and Michael Brantley was sitting in the very front seat and he saw my Indians cap and he gave me a head nod and a thumbs up and they drove off. So in my book, he's number one just for that alone. And he should, as long as he stays healthy, he should play a big role for the rest of the season.
Francisco Lindor.
Francisco Lindor is kind of like the Indians' Kyrie Irving, but even better because he plays really great defense and he hasn't tried to force a trade out of town. He's been an all-star a couple times, and this year it kind of looked like he got in on his reputation, but he's right in the midst of a 13-game hitting streak, and he's really fun to watch and reminds you of like those 90s teams where they had all those young studs on the come up, like Manny Ramirez and Jim Thome, and when they had like the prime guys like Kenny Lofton and Albert Bell. And you could say like Brantley and Edwin are like the prime guys that are already in their 30s and they're making the money. And Lindor and Jose Ramirez are guys to watch. But Lindor, he's been a highly touted prospect. The dude's great. He's leading, he's batting 272. He's really picked it up over the last month, and if the Indians are going to do big things in the playoffs, he's going to have to do a lot of it. And he's one of the best defenders at shortstop. He won't make you forget Omar Vizquel, but he will make you forget Johnny Peralta. Jahani Peralta.
Andrew Miller.
Andrew Miller is probably the best pitcher in baseball if you go for a one inning at a time basis. The Indians traded for him last year from New York. They traded one of their top prospects, Clint Frazier, and they got him for the next two more seasons. So he's a long-term piece. He's currently on the disabled list. And a lot of people will act like that's a big deal, but hopefully they can survive this next stretch of games without him, bring him back for the playoffs. The guy was unhittable last year in the playoffs, if you watch, and I'm sure you probably watch the playoff games. And if he's healthy and throwing good, the Indians bullpen with the 1-2 punch of him and Cody Allen is pretty phenomenal. And if you got Corey Kluber taking the game all the way to the eighth, you never know what's going to happen. Andrew Miller should be there. Nasty, nasty pitches. I believe it's a slider that is basically unhittable, but he's a monster. And it's great that he's on the Indians. He was also an all-star. I'm starting out with the five all-stars here. There's a pattern. And then we're going to get into the rest of the team.
Corey Kluber.
Corey Kluber is a former Cy Young winner who somehow is still underrated. They call him Klubot because he doesn't make any expressions when he's on the mound. He basically sits there stone-faced, happy, sad. He feels no emotion. He feels no pain. He feels nothing but the need to strike out every single hitter he faces. This season, he set a record for the 12th time in a row. He has struck out eight or more hitters, which ties him with three of the legends, Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, and Nolan Ryan. He is in some rarefied air when it comes to strikeouts, and his name never gets mentioned with the elite of the game. But as you saw in the playoffs last year, he basically willed the Indians to the World Series. And if he didn't just get overworked in Game 7, pitching on short days rest in Game 1 and Game 4, you know, who knows what would have happened, but he was the MVP. And if you could have given the Cy Young retroactively, you'd give it to him. It's much like if you're a basketball fan, when everybody's like, who's going to be the MVP this year? Oh, Russell Westbrook or James Harden. And then the playoffs are over and everybody's like, oh, LeBron James is the best player in basketball, or maybe even Kevin Durant. And those guys don't even come close. That's how it was last year in the playoffs. Corey Kluber didn't get the Cy Young award, but after watching him in the playoffs, I don't know if there's any pitcher I would rather have as the ace of my team.
Jose Ramirez.
The final all-star, the one guy I haven't mentioned yet, Jose Ramirez. This guy right now is currently my favorite Indians player. He's so much fun to watch. The guy is a hitting machine, despite the fact that he bunted in the first inning the other night. And for no, that'll never make sense to me. But Jose Ramirez, he's got blonde hair dyed at the top. It's basically orange. He's short. He's weirdly chubby, but he's fast. He can field and he can hit like none other. And this guy is just so much fun to watch. He's the cockiest guy with the highest, softest voice I've ever seen in my life. I love watching him play. Every time he comes up, you just got to go, Jose, 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 Jose. And you'll get into it because he's that much fun to watch. And the guy is just one of those baseball originals where you're like, how is this guy good at a sport? Because he's skilled, he knows what he's doing, and he's surprisingly athletic. He's super fun to watch. He signed a long-term deal with the Indians. So you're going to have a lot more summers and hopefully more postseasons to watch him play baseball. And he is the guy to watch. When he comes up to bat, just pay attention. And Tom Hamilton said on their broadcast today, he's the only player in Major League Baseball who is a switch hitter who's hitting over 300 from the right side and the left side. He's currently hitting 323, which is good as shit. And he is fun. He's basically like a combination of how people felt watching Omar Vizquel and Kenny Lofton field, but also just everything he does, whether it's just running the bases or coming up to bat, because he just fouls off every pitch and then just drops one right in the hole or gets a clutch home run. He's super fun to watch, and he's my favorite player on this Indians team. I also like Michael Brantley because he's persevered and come through a lot, and Andrew Miller because he's tall, but Jose Ramirez is number one for me, and hopefully the way this postseason will go and the rest of the season, they'll make the playoffs, it'll come up huge, and everybody will remember the name, Jose Ramirez. I'm going to name a few more guys here because they weren't all stars, but they're very important to know. Number one on that list,
Edwin Encarnacion.
This guy was a prize free agent, probably one of the biggest free agent signings the Indians have made, definitely in over 20 years. And unlike Nick Swisher, he's actually hitting. You know, he's got 22 home runs. He's that big bat in the middle of the lineup, former all-star. You bring him over to DH, and he just mashes and smashes the ball. The Indians team offensively, I know this is what I'm going to try to link back to, the 90s, because everybody was a fan in the 90s, whether they were a kid or older. And he's like the one guy that's a link to those teams in terms of just mashing the ball and the ability to just smash it out of the park every single time he comes up to bat. And when he does hit a home run, he sticks his arm out to the side and pretends that his pet parrot is resting on his arm while he trots the bases. They call it the Ed Wing. And that's what he does every time. That's his home run celebration. Just holding his arm out, pretending his bird's there. He doesn't act like he's going to pet it or feed it a cracker or something like that. He just holds it out and just runs around those bases every single time he hits a home run. The Ed Wing. If you go to McDonald's in Northeast Ohio, they have a contest where you can take a picture on Instagram, hashtag it. If you go to my page on Instagram, Chris Clemnet, at Chris Clemnet, no spaces, I have a picture there. Go ahead and take one and dilute my chances of winning. It's fine. Technically, I'm not even allowed to enter because I don't live in the residential area, but I didn't let that stop me because I'll just use my dad's address because he has the same name. I'm beating the system. Ed Wing. Edwin Encarnacion. Ed Wing.
Shiz and tits.
This guy, I know you just heard Chiz and tits, but his real name's Lonnie Chisenhall, and he's hurt right now. But when he was playing, he was hitting wonderfully. He should have been an all-star. But, you know, this was a guy who was a high-level prospect that was supposed to be a third baseman. It never worked out. They sent him back down. They came up. They're like, let's just put him in the outfield. We need some to do something with him. And it started out a little slow, started out a little bad. and he's just become a great hitter since then. And it's just an inside joke. My wife's friend always called him Chisholm Tits, and now we all call him Chisholm Tits. I couldn't tell you why, but Lonnie Chisenhall is Chisholm Tits. And actually, last week when we were at the game, my sister referred to him as Chisholm Tits to our parents, who are relatively conservative. And we're like, oh, you just said tits in front of mom. And they didn't even notice because it rolls off the tongue that easy. Chisholm Tits. Chisholm Tits. Just say it every time he comes up to bat. And he's also a guy who I used to hate. And now when he comes up to bat, I get excited because he's turned it around that much. And he's finally showing why he was considered such a highly thought of prospect. And he was the only Indian this year who could have claimed to be an all-star snub because he did deserve to make the roster. But with five guys, I understand that they're not necessarily looking for a sixth.
Cody Allen.
Cody Allen is a great closer that doesn't necessarily get the respect he deserves because he pitches alongside Andrew Miller, who is a generational type relieving talent, where Cody Allen is just really, really, really good. But this guy, when he comes in the game in the ninth, I don't feel heart palpitations like Bob Wickman was on the mound. I don't get excited because it could all blow up in spectacular fashion when Joe Borowski, the Bayonne bleeder, was up there. It's not that kind of thing. If Cody makes a mistake, he can get beat, but he doesn't make many mistakes, and he is usually a guy who comes in, slams the door, Mike Jackson, Mighty Wings style. And he is another guy who you're going to have to know his name if you're going to be watching the Indians for the rest of the season in the playoffs, because he is the closer supreme. He's got that, you know, Doritos Locos taco with the spicy shell, and you add some sour cream, and that is Cody Allen. He might not be a cheesy gordita crunch or whatever your favorite thing is. You know, I like the quesarito. So he might not be the quesarito of Andrew Miller, but he is a damn good Doritos Locos taco. And the guy is solid every time you finish the night off. And that's why I'm going with the Taco Bell references, because Cody Allen is the Cleveland Indians' fourth meal.
Bradley Zimmer.
Bradley Zimmer is a rookie who's actually contributing. He's playing really good right now. And unlike Tyler Naquin, this doesn't appear to be a fluke. Last year, Tyler Naquin was playing center field, and he had a really good rookie season, but it seemed to be almost smoke and mirrors. He hasn't even played this year. He's been in the minors the whole time. And Bradley Zimmer just did the old leapfrog, went from below him to above him. Now he's in the major leagues, and he's contributing. He's hitting. He's a monster out there in the field. And he's one guy to watch over the next few years. He could really be something special.
The best of the rest.
All right, in order to go over, I'm just going to give you a few quick points. You might be saying, hey, what about Jason Kipnis? I thought that guy was one of the Indians' best players. Well, he's been hurt all year. When he has played, he's been all right. But he's never really been himself, back to his all-star form. Hopefully this stint on the disabled list, he comes back the end of the month, and then you get geared for the playoff run and he becomes a big contributor in the postseason. But that is why there's no mention of him. I'm going to give him an incomplete grade. Carlos Santana, another guy who flies on the radar. Some people love him, some people hate him. The guy just gets on base like it's his job. And he's a decent first baseman, a great hitter. He doesn't necessarily hit for average, but he's got good power. He walks a ton. The guy's very disciplined at the plate. And he has the same name as a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Everything people in Cleveland should love. Carlos Santana, definitely a good player. Austin Jackson made a huge catch the other night against Boston, where he caught the ball, flipped over the fence, still held it up. And I always like him. You know, he's an older guy. He's been hurt. The Indians took a flyer on him this year, and he's played really good when he has played. He's hit better than he has for most of his career. And I'll always feel a special connection to him because he was one of my questions on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
The Detroit Tigers, Austin Jackson, shares his first and last names with the capitals of what two U.S. states? Texas and Mississippi, Alabama and Georgia, Idaho and Kansas, Nevada and Wyoming. Austin Jackson.
Yeah, if I'm going to go for this because it seems, again, really easy, and I've learned so far today, if I think I know the answer, I have so far. If I lose the money on this, you know, watch out, but
You're going to have to deal with a very large crying man. I'm going to go A, Texas and Mississippi, final answer.
It is Texas and Mississippi. Nice going, Chris. What are we adding to the
Brandon Guyer is a platoon outfielder who is noteworthy for getting hit by more pitches than anybody in baseball history last season. He also walked in a winning run the other night because he didn't walk it in. He got hit by a pitch and scored the winning run for the Indians to take the lead over the White Sox. The guy gets hit by a lot of pitches, and I don't know. I tried to think of a good name for him last week at the White Sox game, and I was like, Brandon McGuyver. Brandon Guyer, there's nothing good. He just gets hit by a lot of pitches. I guess it's also noteworthy to talk about their catchers. Yan Gomes he's not one of my personal favorites now. He had a good hit today, but he and Roberto Perez are the catchers. They're both solid defensively, but neither of them is much of a hitter. As for the pitching staff, you got Carlos Carrasco, who's another guy who, when he's on, he's unhittable. Danny Salazar, if he can stay healthy, that will give the Indians three top-of-the-rotation arms for the playoffs. Mike Clevinger has been pitching very well over the last couple months. Trevor Bauer is a weirdo who cut his hand on a drone propeller, and sometimes when he pitches good, he pitches unbelievable, and other times when he pitches bad, he pitches terribly. He's known for getting into fights with people because of his support on Twitter, because he's a huge Donald Trump supporter, and he's also known for his love of drones, and he used to be in a rap group, and this is one of his songs.
From the gutter to the gray, we rise up to win it. Wahoo's on first with the rise on the pennant. Going all in, Cleveland Indians. From the gutter to the bling, now they call us champions. From the gutter to the gray, we rise up to win it. Wahoo's on first with the rise on the pennant. Going all in, Cleveland Indians. From the gutter to the bling, now they call us champions. This is how we do it with beauty. We be moving, taking bases with ease. Born and Brantley are the truest. God who Baldo always cruising, getting stupid, throwing cheddar. Other teams are looking clueless. Ain't nobody do it better. We get knocks.
Josh Tomlin, the little sheriff, the little cowboy, whatever you want to call him, he's hurt. He's out for now. I'm not a huge fan of him, but last year in the postseason, he was magical. And as for the bullpen, I can't go without talking to this guy. Brian Shaw. Look, I'm a fan of his because he's 28 and he looks like he's 43. And he statistically is a good pitcher. He just has a bad habit of giving up runs in close situations. But if you look at it overall, he's a great pitcher. I'm not going to crap on him at all besides the little sound effects. But if you're watching a game, the fans, Twitter, real life, everywhere, they hate him. They blame him for everything. So if you want to be like a real true fan and something goes just as soon as Brian Shaw comes in the game, you got to be like, oh, great, Shaw's coming in, this game's over. They got no chance now. I mean, he's just going to give up a bunch of runs and they're going to lose it. God damn it. So that's what you should do when Brian Shaw comes in the game. That's covered most of the bases. There's other guys I didn't mention, but this is all you really need to know to be a fan. You're caught up on what's going on. It's August. You're in for the stretch run. You got everything you need to know. I will say you should probably on Twitter, two of the best Indians writers to follow are Zach Meisel at ZACKMEISEL, Jordan Bastian, who is at MLB BASTIAN. It's also in the show notes. If you like actual analysis about the Indians, I really do like the Everybody Hates Cleveland shows on the WFNY podcast. When they talk about baseball, they really know what they're talking about. It's usually Jim Pete and Mike Hattery, I think their names are, and I really enjoy listening to them about the Indians. They know what they're talking about. Besides that, I have a subscription to The Athletic for Jason Lloyds. I don't really read it much for the Indians, but you know, there's a lot of stuff on Twitter, and you can follow MLB.TV if you're not living in Cleveland. MLB TV is really cheap at this point, and it's worth getting for August and September because that's when the games are going to be close. The one team you really want to keep your eye on if you're an Indians fan is the Kansas City Royals. They're only 2.5 games back of the Indians, and they will be threatening for the next 2 months. According to some advanced metrics, I believe it was from Fangraphs.com, but don't get me wrong because I made a concerted effort to not talk about stats on this. But the Indians, like true based on their run differential, should have like 10 more wins than they do, and the Kansas City Royals, based on their run differential, it's negative, I believe, should have like 15 less wins than they do. So there's a lot of luck involved with baseball, which is why some people don't like it, because the Indians can overall be a much better team and just based on some weird fluke circumstances can lose games. Just like the other night where Cody Allen had 3 outs in the bottom of the 9th and yet the Indians lost because they dropped the ball and a runner got to first and another batter got to come up. So baseball is weird like that. It's not like basketball where the better team almost always wins in the playoffs or in most regular season games. You know, there's some schedule losses and stuff, but you know, anything can happen. A lot depends on who's pitching, and that's one of the reasons why it's super exciting to watch, and also, for some reasons, incredibly frustrating. So hopefully, this last half hour gave you enough knowledge that you need to feel caught up on the Indians. I didn't really get into any specifics. I just told you my thoughts and feelings on the players and how I can process them as a fan in the simplest ways possible. And I think I gave you a lot of sound bites that you can use if you're out at a bar or watching with your friends or family, or even just want to tweet about it. Okay, on Monday, when I originally started writing the outline for this episode, and I thought I would have it out Monday night, I said on Facebook, to all you diehard Cleveland Indians fans, what's one thing you wish casual fans knew about the team, this season, or et cetera? And I got a lot of answers from a lot of different types of people. The first one was from Dave Sterling, host of the Friday Fumble on Waiting for Next Year's podcast. He said, the one thing he wishes Indians fans knew was that Chicago-based superfan Chris Klemm has blonde hair right now, much to the surprise of his Cleveland friends when they see him in pictures. Dave, that's true. I do have blonde hair. I do go by Clem and M right now. Thank you. Justin Doan says, if they watched, they would know everything. Not very helpful. My sister, Abby, a noted Indian super fan who has been on this podcast before, would like you to know that a walk when a player gets 4 balls and takes first base is also abbreviated as BB, which stands for Base on Balls. She's a big baseball fan, and she didn't realize what BB meant on the scoreboard, because that's one of those technical terms that makes sense if you think about it really hard, but nobody would ever call a walk a base on balls. So walk equals BB equals base on balls. Got it? Steve Guy and Anthony Pierce both wrote Major League movie references. Thank you, guys. Steve says Rick Vaughn is not the reason for their success. And Tony says hot prospect Roger Dorn is tearing up the minor leagues right now. I guess this would be a good time to say the movie Major League is always worth watching and enjoyable. Eric Hood said, make sure they know Corey Kluber may very well be the best pitcher in baseball. I believe I've covered it. Thank you. Comedian Josh Volchko, the pride of Stowe, Ohio, says Brian Shaw is really good, even though everyone hates him. I agree with that 100%. Brian Shaw is better than the fans think, but the fans hate him. Ricky says they can go to Indians.com to get tickets. A helpful reminder, if you are in Northeast Ohio, the Cleveland area, you should go to more games. It's really fun, and you can go for pretty cheap, and they could use the attendance. Remember all the great times you would have at Jacobs Field? You can have them now at Progressive Field. They got great food options. They got great fireworks shows on the weekends. There's always interesting things going on. And baseball is a fun sport. Even if you're not a diehard fan, you know, you got a cell phone. You got something to cover in the downtime. You can talk to your friends. You're not interrupting anything. You're not going to miss something. It's a great time out, even if you're not a huge fan. Comedian Justin Golock says, casuals know that Lindor is the hot young talent and Encarnacion is the veteran free agent. But I wish I saw more Jose Ramirez jerseys, heard more cheers for his plate appearances, etc. He's the most exciting Ramirez to play for the Indians since Manny Ramirez. He said it in a much more artful way, but this is audio, so I have to explain it. But what he wrote was much more succinct and better put. He's the most exciting Ramirez since Manny. Columbus comedian Daryl Dawson says, enjoy watching Andrew Miller, who's more dominant than LeBron in his given field, while you can. And he also added, he's watched enough baseball in his life to know the AL Central was never going to be a gimme. So those are two true things. Andrew Miller, most dominant reliever right now in baseball, and the Royals are somehow magically in the race despite the fact that all the stats say that should be impossible. Comedian Sam LaTourette would like listeners to know that Andrew Miller rules, but the It's Miller Time shirts are real, real bad. Contributor to the show, Damon Kamen, says, Jose Ramirez is one of the best players in baseball, and Zimmer is the real deal. Star co-host of the Stansberry Morning Show on 106.9 Canton, Rock 106.9 in Canton, Ohio, Fantone, says, the debut of Zimmer has been a little under the radar, as have the issues with starting pitchers 3, 4, and 5. Also, they're notorious for leaving guys on base. Those are both two very salient points. As everybody's saying, Zimmer has been playing great, better than you'd expect. That's why I gave him his own segment. And they've had a really weird back of the rotation when it was supposed to be a strength this season, and they need to bring more runners home. I can't disagree with that. My wife, Kristen, says, ketchup is the best of the hot dog condiment runners, but onion has a bitchin' purse. Justice Estelle says, they're not coming from behind to win nearly as much as they did to provide extra exciting baseball last year. That's true. Last year was a team of destiny. This is a team that's just good and going out and finishing games most of the time. I mean, they're usually ahead, they win. They're usually behind, they lose. There's not a lot of magic happening at Progressive Field, but there's still time for that to change. And Stan the Man in the Bay Area adds, it would be great if they could win at least one game on national TV. So there you have it. That's Indians fans with their recommendations for how you should, for anything I might have missed, for you to enjoy, get the most out of the rest of the season. I hope this is somewhat educational and at least entertaining. Go Tribe. I just got myself a Cleveland Indians Block C All-Star Game cap for the stretch run. I'm ready to go, and I'm really hoping that this year they make it back to the World Series and they finish them off, because I don't want to be thinking about the Cavs, and I don't care about the matchup in training camp between Kaiser and Kessler. I just want the Indians to be good and for that to be my sports focus for the next 2 months. 3 months. The next 3 months. Go Tribe. Let's get a second epilogue on to Believe Land, and let's watch our Cleveland Indians go all the way to the World Series back-to-back years and finish the job. Talk to you guys next time. Go Tribe.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.
Well, then I guess there's only one thing left to do.
What's that?
Win the whole fucking thing.
Yeah. Yes! Oh my God.